Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, it's all about fantasy basketball. So if you want to join a league or do anything like that, I will break it down, guys. And I'll also give you guys I'm targeting and also guys that I'm just avoiding. Forget about it. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, this episode is going to be all about fantasy basketball. So fantasy basketball, which works in a similar vein as fantasy football, you can join a variety of leagues. The leagues I usually join are in Yahoo. You also have ESPN that has leagues as well. But I like Yahoo because of the flexibility as far as creating a league, all the different types of leagues. So usually Yahoo is my go-to. But you can do ESPN too. It makes no difference. In fact, I know people use ESPN. So, and that's okay. That's fine. But for me, I use Yahoo because of the way I can tweak the leagues and add little kinks to it and so forth. So there you have that. Now, with fantasy basketball, you could do it for free or you could do a paid league. I'd rather not do a paid league. That's not me. So if you want to do a paid league, that's fine too. But here's how it shakes out. These are the types. You have rotisserie, which in short, they call it roto leagues, where it's done in rankings, where wherever you rank in points, in rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, field goal percentage, also free throw percentage, three-pointers made. So that's the ranking. And you can add other categories if you like to. And it ranks it from 1 to, if you're in a 10-team league, from 1 to 10. And then the lowest number with all of the categories ends up winning the league. And it's throughout, like, all season round. You're not going against other opponents per se. You're just putting your people out there and you get ranked accordingly. So there's that. I've done Roto League before. It's cool. It's fine. So there you have that. Then you have the Total Points League, where that's also where it's not competitive per se, where you're not going head to head against somebody each week. You're putting your people out there. They're accumulating X amount of points for point score, X amount of points for rebounds, X amount of points for steals, X amount of points for steal, for assists, blocks, those sort of things. So that's the total points. And it accumulates over a 82-game season. And whoever has the most points in the end wins the league, second place, third place, those sort of things. So that's your total points league. Then you have head-to-head. Now, there's three types of head-to-head. Then there's a new type of league. I'll talk about that after I do the head-to-head. Head-to-head, you have head-to-head points where you're going up against somebody for a full week. You are accumulating points again, whether it be points scored, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals. could be other categories as well. Turnovers, where they give you minus numbers and so forth. And I should go through the different categories that's available. So your standard is field goal percentage, free throw percentage, three-point goals made, points scored, rebounds, total rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. So that's eight categories. That's a normal league pretty much. But you have nine category leagues where the ninth category is turnovers. I don't like playing in turnover leagues, although I just did a draft just actually about a couple of hours ago, and it had turnovers in it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So turnovers. And, of course, that's not you getting the most turnovers. You getting the least turnovers. The reason I don't like that is because what if you have a dormant team that, you know, the owner bails on the league. So you're going up against him. You'll score all these points and all this stuff. And he has the least amount of, let's say, turnovers because he doesn't change his lineup any. And, you know, he may be missing some players or two because they're injured and they're not being replaced in the lineup. So that's why I don't like including turnovers in the category. So it is what it is. So that's your standards. Then you also have field goals made, field goals attempted. Free throws made, free throws attempted. 3-point goal percentage, turnover, assist to turnover ratio, offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds. Then you have fouls. Some people do it with fouls. Technical fouls, flagrant fouls. Also, you can do double-doubles where you're including that. Triple-doubles, you can include that as well. I saw one league where they were actually put in quadruple-doubles, which is that is like hitting the cycle in baseball. It rarely happens. So there you have that. So those are your main pretty much your categories overall that people use. So there you have that. So, yeah, so the points. So points can be accumulated from any of those categories there. And you're going head to head. And then by week's end, whoever has the most points in the different categories wins that category. So that's how that is done. So there you have that. Now, then there's head-to-head categories where you're compiling wins, if you will, from your category, whether it be you go head-to-head with somebody, if you beat them out in field goal percentage, that's a win for you. That's an individual win. Free throw percentage, you win that. That's an individual win or a loss. So points, rebounds, assists, and all those sort of things. So, and again, you could have an 8-category league, 9-category league with the turnovers. You could have a variation of that where somebody includes the double doubles, somebody includes the triple doubles. Also, I have a Kobe league where I don't do the field goal percentage and free throw percentage because I guess in my mind that you really have to maneuver as far as who's the person who's going to bring my score down in terms of percentages wise, then maybe I can't draft that player. But they're great in other categories. But so I have a Kobe league where I just do field goals made, free throws made, and then all the other categories, normal categories like 3-point goals made, points scored, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. So there you have that. That's a 8-category league that I have. So, but nonetheless, so each category you get a win. So that's head-to-head each category. Then you have head-to-head most categories. And when you do it that way, let's say it's an 8, category league and you win four of the categories, your opponent wins four of the categories, then that's a tie. So most categories mean either if you go five categories where you win and your opponent has three, you get the win. So it's one singular win. So there's that. And yeah, I think I explained it properly. So that is most categories where the person who wins the most categories wins the week and gets the W, and whoever loses gets the loss. So there you have that. Now, there's a new league called High Score. Now, this league is just five categories, guys, and it's a points league. So High Score is points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. You get a point for points. You get a point for rebounds. You get 2 points for assists. You get 3 points for steals or blocks. So that's the new one going around. And I actually saw that one person just made it a scoring league. So it's just the 1 point you're accumulating from scoring. So there you have that. So that's the new category. I say that's a great way for beginners to come into fantasy basketball. A great way because it's simple. It's cut and dry. You know, the 1 point for either points scored or rebounds, the 2 points for assists, and then the 3 points for steals and blocks. So I say newcomers, that's a great place for you to start in terms of having a fantasy basketball team. So there you have that. So leagues can be either, I've seen them as small as six. Rarely I've seen four team leagues, but it's primarily six, and it can go all the way up to 20. Now, me personally, I can't do a 20-team league. There's no way. Because think about the draft that you have to have, especially if it's a snake draft. Snake draft means when you draft, it goes 1 to 10, and then it comes around to the team that picked last 10th will get the first pick in the next round. So that's kind of a snake, and it goes the opposite direction. So imagine you're the first person picking in a 20-team league draft. You don't pick again until pick 40. So, and then you'll get a back-to-back 40 and 41, but then the next time it rolls around, you don't pick again until 60. I mean, yeah, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. No way. No way. So, yeah. No. You can't do me like that. So, yeah. So, no. 20 is too much. For me, my sweet spots are either 8-team leagues, 10-team leagues, which I like, and 12-team leagues. The farthest I go is 12. Like, okay, you know, because think about it. The more teams that are in your league, the more you got to research, the more you got to know guys at the end of the bench who may get a few minutes or two. So, yeah, I'm so opposed to a 20-team league. 16, I can't do either. You know, I understand. I get it. I seen 14-team leagues. No. Give me 8, 10, or 12. I'm good. I'm good with that. So there you have that. So that's the leagues as far as that goes. And one other item before I get to the players I'm targeting. Injured lists and injured list plus. If you're in Yahoo leagues, that's what they have. So The difference between the two is injured list means you're actually injured, where you're out, you're not playing the game. So you go on the injured list. Or you're out for a period of time, you go on the injury list. Injury list plus means if you're a game day decision, you can go on that list. So I prefer injury list plus because you never know, a game time decision can turn into a person missing out and then you're stuck. It's hard. You can't make a roster move or anything like that. Or you want to save the player, but that person isn't playing. So I prefer, for me, injury list plus. That's my preference as far as that goes. League I just joined is injury list. I'll get around it. So it's a smaller league, so you can get away with moving players in and out. So there you have that. So that is my breakdown as far as injury list goes. So with that said, I think that's pretty much it for pretty much the layouts, the drafts. Oh, also there's salary cap. Well, let me talk about that. Draft. Here's how it works. You can do a live draft, like I said, with the snake draft. Or you can do it where it's rent, where it's not a snake draft. I haven't been in too many of those. Most of the ones I've been in been snake drafts, where it goes around and comes back around again. But a draft I hardly see is where you're picking from that spot and you stay in that spot each and every round. I prefer that, but that's hard to find. So very hard to find. So there you have that. But snake drafts, I prefer. Then you have the salary cap where you're bidding on a player. The player's a certain amount of money and you're giving a certain allotted amount that you can spend. I don't really do that. So I hear it's lots of fun, very competitive, but I don't do that. I just can't. I don't have the time to crunch the numbers like that. I'm not doing that. So if you do it, hey, great. More power to you, but that's not for me. I'm just saying. So I'll just leave that there. All right, so that's pretty much the minutiae as far as the fantasy basketball leagues go. That's pretty much the scenario as far as that goes. Of course, research, research, research. I usually get Street and Smith. I'll get Athlon Sports, those type of books to do my research. Of course, you have the internet. You can research that way. There's plenty of places that do rankings and all kind of stuff. YouTube, you have people on YouTube with channels dedicated to fantasy basketball. So you can definitely go there. I believe Rick Kamler has a channel. I follow him, so he's a big-time fantasy basketball guy, so I usually follow him. But there's others as well. But, yeah, so do your research, guys. Don't come in there flying blind. And know your league. Know what type of league it is, whether it's roto, whether it's head-to-head points, whether it's total points, whether it's head-to-head categories. Know your league. Know the league's rules. Know as far as now, some leagues too, it has it where you can change your players each day. I prefer that. Some leagues you have where you change them by the week. Then you got to determine who's playing more, who's having a four-game week, who's having a three-game week, who's only playing twice. I have to change mine every day. Or at least have the opportunity to set my lineup for the week and not have to worry about it unless injuries creep up. So there you have that. And then that's another thing. If you set it for the week, what if a guy goes down with an injury at the start of the week? You're stuck with him. So, I need a daily change. So there you have that. One other thing. No, I think that covers it for the most part. And the waiver wire. Important to watch the waiver wire. Watch where guys are giving up on stars. Maybe, let's say a guy like, let me pick a guy. Maybe a guy like, I'll say, maybe a guy like Jalen Williams has a slow start for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Somebody just can't take it anymore and they drop him. Watch waiver wire. This way you can pick him up. Watch as far as your ranking in the waiver wires, because that's the way it's done. Like the lowest number gets the better opportunity to get a player. So there you go. So, all right. With that said, guys, let me talk about the players I'm targeting and my drafts. I'm in a few drafts. I'm not a whole bunch. I'm trying to scale it down a bit, guys. So here are the guys I'm targeting, and I'm going to do it in three different categories. I'll do it in top 50 guys, top 100 from 51 to 100, and then 101 on down. So we'll just rank it that way. This is according to 10-team leagues, so bear that in mind. So with that said, guards I'm targeting amongst the top 10, Josh Giddey for the Chicago Bulls. I'm trying to get him all over the place. They just re-signed him to that huge deal in Chicago. So he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the catalyst, the guy with the ball in his hands. You got a Coby White next to him that's going to be taking a lot of shots. But I think Josh Giddey is starting to round into his own. Big guard, big point guard. So Josh Giddey, I'm grabbing all over the place wherever I can to get him. I've been doing it the past few years anyway. But I think this year is really a chance for you to cash in on a guy like Josh Giddey. So Josh Giddey is one of the guys I'm targeting. Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson is a guy I would like to target. I don't think he's going to be the 28, 30-point, 26-point scorer this year. I think Mike Brown scales him down maybe to about 22, 24, somewhere around there. I think he scales down the scoring, but I think his assists go up. So with that, I'm definitely interested in a guy who can flirt with possibly a 2010 season. I think he could do that because the Knicks are loaded with firepower, guys. So Jalen Brunson, if I'm able, I'm grabbing him because I think he could be a 20 and 10 guy in this offense. But I think more like 28, I'll take that as well. But I think his assist numbers go up as they try to get guys involved like Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby. So Jalen Brunson, a guy I'm targeting. Derek White, another guy I'm targeting, guys. Think about this. The Boston Celtics, they don't have Jason Tatum for the year. So you know they're going to rely heavily on Jaylen Brown. So he's going to be the guy. Where do you go after that? Who's the guy after Jaylen Brown? That's a huge question. So I don't think it'll be Anthony Simmons. I think it takes some time for him to adjust while he's in Boston. So I know he'll score, but I don't think he'll be the 20-plus point scorer that he was in Portland. I think that number comes down, which means a lot comes to Derek White. I think Derek White will be the point guard over there. He's a great two-way player. He's going to give you the steals. He's going to give you those sort of things. But Derek White is a guy I'm targeting big time because of the opportunity there in Boston. So that's a guy I'm looking at. So that's your almost your top 50, 51 through 100. Emmanuel Quickley of the Toronto Raptors. I understand. I get it. His first season first full season last season with Toronto didn't go as well. I think it was more fluke than anything else. As a Knick, he was relatively healthy, not missing a lot of games there. So I'll give him a break for last year. But as far as this year goes, I'm grabbing Emmanuel quickly in my drafts. So they have that. Darius Garland, a lot of draft boards have pushed him down, but I'll be honest with you guys. I think he missed maybe a couple of weeks at the most. They're already saying that November he'll be back, so I'm grabbing Darius Garland, man. This is a guy who could be a top 25 player, maybe top 30. I'm grabbing him. He gives you scoring. He gives you the assists. I understand. I get it. He has a checkered history as far as injury go, but I'm grabbing him. I'm grabbing him because there's nights where you don't have Donovan Mitchell and you need a guy in the backcourt. Darius Garland is that. So I'm grabbing Darius Garland. I understand he's on the injury list now. If you're playing in a league where you got an IL spot or IL plus, stash him there, grab somebody else for the time being. But when he's ready to go, you got a solid player who's, like I said, who can give you top 25 numbers as far as that goes. So Darius Garland, I'm picking up. And then the last guy, he's coming in around the bottom of round the 90-ish area, and that's Stephen Castle. This guy was last year. He was the rookie of the year. You don't think his number's going to bump up? Of course they will. And then remember this, guys. They're not going to have De'Aaron Fox at the start of the season. So who else are you going to have scoring other than Victor Wembanyama? Stephen Castle is the guy over there. So I'm grabbing him. I'm grabbing him any chance I get. I love what I saw from him last year, and I think it's more to come this year. So Stephon Castle, I'm taking him for the San Antonio Spurs. Now let's talk about the latter part of your draft, 101 on down. Tyler Herro. I'm taking Tyler Herro. I understand he's another guy who's going to be on the injury list the early part of the season. But again, I think he gets back December-ish or so. But this is a guy who could flat out score. He gives you points. He gives you three-point goals made. I'm grabbing Tyler Herro. Wherever I can see him, I'm grabbing him. They're talking about early December, him coming back. I'm taking Tyler Herro. Let's see. Bob Carrington for the Washington Wizards. This is a guy I'm taking. He's going to start in the backcourt with a guy like CJ McCollum who can give him a break and be a veteran in his ear. But Bob Carrington is a guy that I like. And remember, it's the Washington Wizards here. So opportunities are wide open there. He's a guy who can dish the ball. He's a guy who can score the ball. So, Bob Carrington, I'm taking him in the latter part of the drafts. And then Colin Sexton of the Charlotte Hornets. This is a guy, when he was in Utah, he can light it up. In fact, he had a pretty good season last season. He's all the way back from the injury that beset him maybe a couple of years back, knee injury. But Colin Sexton, and then think about this, guys. He's coming to Charlotte. LaMelo Ball, you know he's an injury risk. So if LaMelo Ball were to go out, the ball handling responsibilities will fall right on Colin Sexton, which will be right up his alley. So I'm taking Colin Sexton, guys. I believe he's going to start over there, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it'd be him and LaMelo in the backcourt, along with Brandon Miller, along with Miles Bridges, and whoever they're starting at center. So Colin Sexton, I'm taking. I'm definitely taking in my draft. So that's your guards. Let's move to the swing guys. These are the guys who can play the guard or forward position, usually small shooting guard, small forward. So these are the guys I'm looking at. Top 50, Scotty Barnes. I'm taking Scotty Barnes, guys. And he also can play power forward for you, by the way. Scotty Barnes. He showed you something last season. And the only thing with him, injuries. Injuries always beset him, but he's a guy I'm taking a flyer on big time, guys. Amen Thompson of the Houston Rockets. He has wide open opportunity now with Jalen Green heading to Phoenix. Amen Thompson, he showed you glimpses last season. I think his game goes up. I understand. I get it. You bring in a Kevin Durant, so you're talking a 25-point score that you bring in. I understand that. But remember, too, you're missing Dylan Brooks as well. So Amen Thompson, I think the all-around numbers. And then remember, too, guys, they are without Fred Van Fleet, so there's going to be opportunities there. They're already talking about him maybe handling the basketball. So Amen Thompson, I'm taking in drafts. That's for sure. Shaedon Sharpe of the Portland Trail Blazers. He's coming in around, he's teetering around 50 or so, but this is a kid who I kind of jumped the gun last season and taking him. And he had some injuries about midway, but when he came back, he was golden. But he is a guy with open opportunity there in Portland. No Anthony Simons, so the door's wide open for him. Shaedon Sharpe, I'm taking in drafts. And then the last guy, Jaylen Brown for the Boston Celtics. I already talked about the expectations for him this season over there. He's going to be the guy, and he's going to get ample opportunity to be the guy. So Jaylen Brown, I definitely taking a look at him amongst the top 50 swing guys. All right, let's go to 51 to 100. Ben Mathurin, I think, has an opportunity here. A guy who can absolutely light it up. You have no Tyrese Haliburton. My worry is the situation as far as Andrew Nembhard now running the show. So will he get Mathurin the opportunities there? We'll see. But I like Ben Mathurin. I'll take a flyer on him. So Ben Mathurin for the Indiana Pacers. Christian Braun for the Denver Nuggets. Now, you saw that Michael Porter Jr., he went out the door. So you have Jokic there. You have a Jamal Murray who can be in and out of your lineup. You know, they like to preserve him. Cam Johnson, he's a guy with injury history as well. High ceiling guy, but a lot of injury history. Christian Braun is a guy who you can hang your hat on, who will be there. I think he takes a step up this season. So Christian Braun for the Denver Nuggets. I'm taking a run at him. And Mikal Bridges for the New York Knicks. They just armed him with the four-year, $150 million contract. So he's a guy. Mike Brown's already singing his praises. So Mikal Bridges, he's a guy. You know, he's a two-way player. I think he gets more scoring opportunity. I think his confidence is up. They're already talking about as far as Josh Hart hitting the bench. So Mikal Bridges is a guy I will be targeting. So that's your 51 through 100. Beyond that, 101 on down, Norman Powell. He's starting to move up the charts, by the way, as far as the draft goes. Norman Powell, I'm grabbing. You saw what he did last year for the LA Clippers, guys. He's a guy who really steps up, especially when guys like Kawhi Leonard are out of the mix. But Norman Powell, and then remember two guys. Tyler Hero will be on the shelf the early part of the season. That's a time for Norman Powell to flex his muscles a bit and get the opportunity. So Norman Powell's a guy I'm targeting. Quentin Grimes. Quentin Grimes is a guy I'm doing a wait and see with him because I want to see what's going on with that backcourt there. You know Tyrese Maxey will be at one position. The other position seems wide open between VJ Edgecombe, him, and then Jarrett McCain. He's in a wait and see process because he's hurt right now. So Quentin Grimes, you saw what he did, the short window he had with the Sixers. I think he can do it again, guys. So Quentin Grimes is a guy that I'm keeping an eye out on. I may not be drafting him per se, but he's definitely on my watch list. So Quentin Grimes is a guy there that I'm looking at. And Kyshawn George for the Washington Wizards. Yeah, another guy with a golden opportunity. I think he could end up being the small forward there. I think the guard position will be filled with Carrington, like I said, and also McCollum. So I think George could be the small forward there, and he'll have plenty of opportunity. I understand. I get it. Chris Middleton's there, but I don't think he's there for long. So Kyshawn George, a guy you could keep on your watch list for sure, but he's a guy I'm keeping an eye on. So there you have that. Okay, so let's move to the forwards. These are guys who can play either forward position or primarily one or the other. Amongst the first 50, Jalen Williams of the Oklahoma City Thunder. You saw what he did in those finals and how he showed up. And all season long, he ended up being an all-star, guys. I think that continues. I think his confidence goes up now. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has a legitimate Robin in Jalen Williams. So he's a guy, yeah, I'm definitely looking at him as far as guys I would target. Brandon Miller for the Charlotte Hornets. He's a guy who he got injured last year. He was on the rise, so I'll give him an out for that. And definitely a guy that I'm looking at as far as drafting him. Dene Avaji for the Portland Trailblazer. He's a guy I'm looking at really hard, guys. I think there's some guys in Portland that can really take off. Avaji is one. He had kind of a breakout season, if you will, with the Portland Trailblazers. More of an opportunity than he had in Washington. So Avaji's the guy I'm definitely grabbing. In fact, I grabbed him today. So Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg is a guy who, listen, the early part of the season, you won't have Kyrie Irving. So somebody's going to have to support AD. And then remember, two guys, I don't think they're going to lean heavy on Anthony Davis, where they know his injury history, guys. So I think you'll see a steady diet of guys like PJ Washington, guys like Derek Lively to kind of alleviate the minutes that they give Anthony Davis. So where's the scoring coming from? Why not the rookie, Cooper Flagg? So Cooper Flagg's a guy I'm looking at. Franz Wagner, I'm drafting. No ifs, and buts about it. Last year, I threw in the trash. He had the oblique injury, but he's a guy, man. Listen, whew, man, he's a guy I am taking. No ifs, ands, buts about it. So Franz Wagner for the Orlando Magic, I'm grabbing. Did that today, so there you go. All right, so guys, around 51 to 100, Matas Bezelis for the Chicago Bulls. Here's a guy, I think he's on the cusp. I think he's on the cusp, guys, of guys that I'm looking at, wanting to take. I tried to grab him today, somebody scooping him up. But he's a guy I'm looking at big time. Michael Porter Jr. for the Brooklyn Nets. It's pretty simple, guys. Who are you going to hang your hat on with the Brooklyn Nets? Why not a guy who's a former champion, a guy who you know can light it up when healthy? You know, he always has back issues and all those sort of things. But Michael Porter Jr., if I see him available, I'm grabbing him. Kyle Kuzma, a guy a lot of people are sleeping on, guys. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's going to have a lot on his shoulders, guys, with no Dame Lillard. I understand you brought in Miles Turner. I think that's you kind of bumped it up as far as production at your center position because you had Brook Lopez, so you bumped it up in that regard. But you're going to need some alternate scoring from somewhere. Why not Kyle Kuzma, a guy who's, for his career, is an 18-8 guy. So Kyle Kuzma, he's a guy. In fact, I just saw him on the waiver wire. I said, you know what? Let me trade out this guy and take him. Kyle Kuzma, I'm taking, guys. And then remember, too, there's going to be times where they sit Giannis Antetokounmpo, not to overwork him. So who's going to be the primary scorer? Why not a Kyle Kuzma? So there you go. Zachary Richesay for the Atlanta Hawks. I'm kind of thawing out on him because right now in your front court, you have Jalen Johnson. When healthy, he's a dynamite player. You brought in a Kristaps Porzingis. So that's your two forward positions there. So Zachary Richesay, maybe he'll be a bench player. Maybe not, because you can start Kristaps Porzingis at your center. Then Okongwu, then he floats to your bench. So I'm not sure how the front court's going to work in Atlanta, but Zachary Richesay, a guy to keep an eye out on to see how that situation shakes out. But he showed you promise in his rookie season, but maybe he takes off in his second year, but that's a wait and see. So that's your top 100, guys. 101 and down. Tomani Kamara, he's a guy I'm keeping on my watch list for the Portland Trail Blazers. Right now you have Jeremy Grant there, but he's a guy I think could be on the move, maybe a trade deadline guy who gets moved. And that opens the door for Kamara to do his thing. So I'm keeping an eye out on him. Cam Whitmore is a guy I'm keeping an eye out on. Ultra-talented forward who played with Houston. Couldn't get the opportunities there. He's coming to Washington, a place he knows well growing up there. So I think it's just a matter of time before he gets a chance to get in there. But I'm putting him on my watch list, guys. So Cam Whitmore is a guy to keep an eye on. Dylan Brooks for the Phoenix Suns. Again, opportunity. And he's going to have it here with the Suns. I understand the pecking order will probably be Devin Booker, Jalen Green. After that, then what? Why not a Dylan Brooks? So Dylan Brooks, I'm a guy keeping my eye on. Jonathan Kuminga with the Golden State Warriors. I think he's somebody who's not long for Golden State. I think he ends up going on the move. Where he ends up, don't know. But wherever he ends up, he's going to be the guy. So Jonathan Kuminga is on my watch list. So there you have that. All right, so let us continue. Bigs that I'm looking at, guys. Paolo Banchero. He's a guy, again, I throw last year in the trash. He too had an oblique injury for the Orlando Magic. But Paolo Banchero, he's not as efficient as Franz Wagner, but he can still light it up. He can grab you boards. He can do all the things. Paolo Banchero, a guy I'm keeping an eye out on. Domantas Sabonis, a guy I'm definitely grabbing, guys. He's a guy who's going to give you a ton of rebounds. He's going to give you some scoring. He'll give you a triple-double every here and now and then. So Domantas Sabonis is a guy I'm targeting as my center. Bam Adebayo, I think he went through an adjustment period there in Miami. Now he has a guy next to him in Khalil Ward. This will allow Bam to kind of do his thing. I think he gets back to being the defensive player of the year type Bam. And plus giving you the scoring as well. So Bam Adebayo, I think he'll be on a high because his girlfriend is now WNBA champion. So that's motivation for him. So Bam Adebayo, a guy I'm looking at. Pascal Siakam, a guy amongst the top 50 I'm definitely looking at. Again, no Tyrese Haliburton. I think he may give you even better assist numbers with no Haliburton. But Pascal Siakam, a guy who I think will be at the head of the snake for the Indiana Pacers this year, and a guy I'm looking to grab. 51 through 100, Jaren Jackson Jr. For some reason, people are low ranking him, and I don't understand why. You know, in Memphis, right now, it's he's the guy. You just gave him the extension. Ja Morant, who I think will be playing with his chip on his shoulder, but I don't understand why Jaren Jackson Jr. is getting ranked so low. I definitely take him. If I see him in front of me, I'm taking him. So they have that. Ivica Zubac, who had the phenomenal year last year, most improved player. So Ivica Zubac, he gives you a double-double. He's a walking double-double, ton of rebounds. So Zubac, yeah, I'm grabbing him. Julius Randle for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think the adjustment year, I give him a pass on that, but he would be the number two guy behind Anthony Edwards, a guy who I think still is capable of 2010, maybe now over there. He's an 18-10 sort of guy, but Julius Randle, why not? I understand. I get it. You got a guy like Naz Reid there who can play both the center and the power forward position, but Julius Randle, I think he'll be on one this year. And Nikola Vucevic for the Chicago Bulls. Love him. Solid. 18-10 guy, easy. He flirts with a 2010. Rock solid in the paint. He's kind of making his way to the three-point line and hoisting those. So Nikola Vucevic, I'm grabbing him. Now, 101 on down, Jakob Poeltl. For some reason, people are ranking him lower. I don't get that. He's a double-double guy as well. He could give you 16-10, solid from field goal range. Yeah, I don't understand the low ranking of him. I'm taking him. Walker Kessler. He's a guy I'm definitely keeping an eye out on, but he's a guy you definitely want if you need blocks on the low end of the draft. Take him. Kristaps Porzingis, another guy. I don't understand how he's going this low. You got to take him for Atlanta. And Donovan Clingan for the Portland Trailblazers. Yeah, I'm scooping this guy up. I think he has a wide open opportunity over there. I understand you still have a Robert Williams III there, but he has a laundry list of history, long a laundry list of his of injury history there. So there you have that. All right, so I didn't think I'd go this long. Let me go quickly through people I'm avoiding. This is not as long as the others. Guards, top 50. LaMelo Ball, nah. I've done the LaMelo Ball thing the past few years. I'm not getting burnt again. LaMelo Ball, I let somebody else take him. The injury history is just too much for me. Austin Reeves, he is the clear number three guy behind LeBron and Luka. And you know there'll be times where LeBron sits. So I'm kind of warming to Austin Reeves because, again, LeBron's going to do, I think he'll do quite a bit of, you know, where they're watching his minutes, they're watching the back-to-backs. So I'm kind of lukewarm on Reeves. I'm kind of warming back up to him, basically. So you can take his name off the list. So that's your top 50 guys. Jamal Murray for Denver, not taking a chance on him. The hamstring injuries, they pop up all too often for me. I got to sit this one out. Kevin Porter Jr., everyone is high on this guy for the Milwaukee Bucks. They already pretty much penciled him in as the point guard there. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I talked about it in the training camp episodes I did. A lot of people are high on him. I understand he's talented. I get that, but I'm not taking that chance, guys. I'm not doing it. So there you have that. All right, so 101 on down. D'Angelo Russell for Dallas Mavericks. He's a guy where probably initially he'll give you something, but eventually he fizzles out. So I guess that's their thinking. And as far as them having him for the early part until Kyrie is ready, but for the Dallas Mavericks, I'm running away from D'Angelo Russell. How did I have him here? Yeah, so that's a guy I'm running from. Swing guys amongst the top 50, Desmond Bane, I'm souring on him. The thing with him, he misses a lot of time too, guys. So he gives you rock solid numbers when he's in there, but eventually an injury, wherever it comes from, hits him, and then you lost him for months on end. So I'm not doing it. 51 through 100, Cam Thomas. I understand he can score in bunches. I get that. And he has a wide open opportunity over there. But that's all he gives you is scoring. So if you're in a scoring league, great. That's terrific. But I don't know. And look at the Nets. They're lukewarm on him because they only give him a one-year contract. So there's that. So Cam Thomas, I'm good. Paul George, I think he's on the other side of 30, guys. I don't think it goes up from here. Paul George, you don't even know when he's going to come back for the season yet. So I let somebody else draft Paul George. I thought about it today, but I was like, nah, I can't risk it. And then 100 on down, Bilal Coulibaly. He's a guy who I drafted last year, but, you know, some of the younger guys started coming in and taking his minutes. So Coulibaly, I'm not going there. I'm not convinced with him. And Jaime Jaquez, I would have jumped all over him if they didn't have a Andrew Wiggins, if they didn't have a Norman Powell. I would have jumped all over Jaime Jaquez, but I'm not doing that. Nah, I'm good. So there you go. All right, forwards. LeBron James. I know this is sacrilege, guys, but I actually saw him falling in one of my drafts and thought about taking him. Probably should have when all was said and done. Because when he's in there, he's golden. But I don't know what kind of I'm not sure. I think he's going to give you solid numbers because it's LeBron, but he's coming in. They're talking about sciatica and all kind of other stuff. So I'll let somebody else draft LeBron. I know it's sacrilege, but that's the way I feel. Zion Williamson. Nah, I'm good. I'm not drafting him either. They're saying all the right things in New Orleans, but I'm good. 51 through 100, Kawhi Leonard, another guy. I think last year was an aberration as far as seeing him out on the court. I think this year, I'm good. I'm not doing Kawhi. Keegan Murray, I was sour on him, and then I just found out he's going to miss time now, guys. So I'm definitely sour on him. So this comes right at the nick of time. I'm not drafting Keegan Murray. And then 100 and beyond, Aaron Nesmith, he's too hot and cold for me, so I'm not doing it. Sam Hauser, I know they're talking big things about him in Boston, but I think it's going to be the Jaylen Brown, the Derek White show over there, so I'm not doing it. So Sam Hauser, you can miss me with that. Bigs, Chet Holmgren, I understand they just gave him the money. I get it. I'm not solidly convinced. I'm still leery about his injury history. Joel Embiid, I understand you could get him for cheap right now. I can't risk it. I understand he's a 30-point scorer, a 12 or 14-point rebounder, solid all the way around, but I can't do it. 51 to 100. Rudy Gobert, he is dropping like a brick in drafts. And he doesn't even give you the blocks like he used to. So, yeah, I'm not drafting. I used to be a Rudy Gobert guy, but I'm not doing it. DeAndre Ayton for the LA Lakers, not convinced. Not convinced whatsoever. If J.J. Redick can get him motivated, he should get coach of the year if he makes this guy a 2010 guy. So I'm not doing it. 100 and beyond, Mark Williams, not doing it. The guy can't even play 30 minutes a night. I can't go there. And then Jabari Smith Jr., I would have liked him before they brought in the Kevin Durant. So you have a Kevin Durant. You got Alperen Sengun, who's going to have a fine season. I think the numbers won't be there for Jabari Smith Jr. Unless KD misses a chunk of time. Then I'll keep him on the watch list, but I'm not going after him. So there you go. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. As always, All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find all my clips, my episodes. Tonight, guys, live show, 300 episodes. So going to do that. Looking at either 7:30 or 8 tonight. So definitely tune in for that. Support, support, support. Buy me a coffee, PayPal, Spotify, donate. It's all on my website. You can find it there. Also, all the platforms I'm on, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, all the things. YouTube, I got the YouTube channel. Sting, the links to LinkedIn, social media, TikTok, Instagram, some Blue Sky, some Facebook. That's about it. Thank you for listening as always, and see you tonight. Take care.